Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It's a pleasure to speak with you again. Hope all is well on your end. I'm very excited to be back in the saddle. We have been doing our Grizzlies prospect profiles. Really exciting and really enjoyable deep dives into some of the prospects that may be there for the Grizzlies to consider with their number 40 overall pick. You know, unless they make another move in the draft, you know, we'll see. I'm not expecting it, but you never know, you know, with Zach Kleiman and the rest of the regime that now is leading the Memphis Grizzlies. Before we get too deep into the show, we do want to remind you of our title sponsor, Built Bar. Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. If you go to BuiltBar.com right now and put in the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your next order from Built Bar. So far, we've covered Colorado's Tyler Bay, Georgetown's Omeri Yurt-7, and we've also covered Oregon's Peyton Pritchard. Several older prospects who are around the age of 22. We've talked about how they can make sense for the Grizzlies, how they potentially, you know, may not be the most, the reasons why they may not make sense for the Grizzlies, but also in terms of their overall availability at 40, you know, how much of a likelihood that Memphis may consider them. Well, today we're going to stick with the older prospects, and we're really going to look at a prospect whose main calling card is what is attractive in the NBA now, and that's shooting, and that's through Jordan Wara from Louisville. In the first segment, we'll talk about what is it about Wara's game that immediately attracts team, what could immediately attract teams in the NBA. In the second segment, we'll look at some stats. You know, what is there to validate his strengths, but also what is there as red flags, and how does statistics show his concern? And then the third segment, as we've been doing, how does he fit the Grizzlies? I definitely think there's a sensible fit for Wara, you know, with the Grizzlies, but just how much could he fit in terms of his upside being compared to other prospects? Before we get into that, I want to remind you of the show. It's Locked On Grizzlies. My name is Sean Coleman. You can find me at StatsSAC, the show at Locked On Grizz, the podcast anywhere where podcasts are available, Spotify, Stitcher, the podcast app on your iPhone. So looking at Jordan Wara, what stands out? What makes him attractive as a prospect in NBA circles? And the thing that stands out is his shooting ability. And it's not just the fact that he can make threes. Nowadays, it seems like anybody, it seems like, and rightfully so, it seems like that one of the first questions that's asked about any type of prospect is, well, can he make threes? Or what is his projection to be able to make threes consistently at the NBA level? Well, Wara can certainly do that. But the thing also about Wara that really stands out is that there is a depth to his ability to make threes. And with his understood lack of athleticism due to the size that he is, that is very important because it's fine that he has a significant shooting ability and also has a significant, you know, projectable shot in the NBA. But with the lack of athleticism, if he can't get open, it's not going to do him too much good. Well, Wara actually has the ability, while he may not be able to do it due to quickness or speed himself, he has the ability to find his shot in multiple ways. For one, it's respectable distance, and it's actually very admirable distance. I would say within 30 feet of the basket, you can see in Wara's tape, he is confident taking the shot no matter what. There were several possessions that Louisville had over the past few years in which Wara, in a situation where you wouldn't expect for him to shoot, he found his shot, he made it, and he went on with, you know, with his business. He was able to shoot his shot even though he was contested, and that is a big, big thing for a guy who may not have that good of an ability to get around his defender in the NBA. If he is given space out on the perimeter, he can make the shot really from anywhere, and that certainly is an attractive asset in a wing in the NBA. The other thing about it that really stands out about Wara is his quick release. That's what helps him get the shot off against close defenders. If defenders in the NBA come up because they know that he doesn't have the best ability to drive around them, Wara can still be a threat to shoot because of the fact that he has a quick release and can get his shot off. And with his size, he'll be able to do it without the defender being all over him. So his quick release is another big reason as to why you could put faith in Wara's ability to continue being a significant shooter at the NBA level. And finally, the other thing about it is he's got a pretty nice ball handling game to him. In a small space, Wara can create space with himself. He can use his ball handling ability to create the option for a step back, to create the option to slide left left or right to get a shot if a defender is up on him. Also, the ability to dribble and, you know, to fake the drive or maybe around the pick and roll to be able to find his shot. So there's versatility in Wara's way in which he can contribute as a shooter in the NBA that can overcome natural abilities that you think might be there, such as quickness and speed and things such as that. The other big thing about Nwora that stands out is emphasis on the word big. To me, Nwora is built like a prototypical NFL defensive lineman or tight end. This guy is truly 6'7", 225 pounds of what it says he is in his program media guide, and that's not exaggeration. He fits that description perfectly, and that is attractive. And the good thing is that it's not just the fact that he did. Stands out because of his size when he's on the court. Like, you can definitely tell he is a big wing, but he knows how to use it. Number one, he knows how to use it when it comes to his shooting. It's hard to get him out of position. He also knows how to, if a defender is trying to body him, he knows how to use his body to get away from the defender to be able to get space for his shot. But another big reason, which adds value outside of his shot and gives him potential to not just be a shooting specialist in the NBA, is his ability to rebound from the wing position. And that is a key asset for his projection in the NBA. Because if he is a wing and he starts playing on teams with smaller who want to go with smaller lineups, his ability to rebound will keep him on the court because that's an attractive quality for teams who may not want traditional bigs in the game, yet they still can rely on Wara to be able to be a defensive rebounder, to be a rebounder. He can do it on defense. He has the ability to get long rebounds on offense. He's not necessarily a guy who's going to sit there and be, you know, an athletic marvel for putbacks and things like that. That's just not his game. But his rebounding is not just about his size. It also is about his intelligence and his instinct. He knows how to read the ball off the rim. He takes good angles. He knows how to box out. He knows the angles to take to get to the basket to come out of nowhere and get the rebound as well. So Nwora's jump shot, as well as his ability to be able to get rebounds, his utilization of his size and his confidence really stand out as the positives that make Nwora a legitimate NBA prospect. Coming from his background, he's from Buffalo, he came on to Louisville. Another thing that stands out about his time in Louisville is that he also showed significant development as time went on. Through his second season, in which he was named, you know, the ACC's most improved player, he also was voted as the ACC's preseason player of the year before the 2019-2020 season, which, as we know, in the ACC, that's a pretty big accomplishment. He also was a two-time All-ACC player. He truly has been one of the best, if not the premier talent on Louisville, coached by Chris Mack, which is still a premier program in the NCAA over the past few years. And the thing about Moore is this, is that in the NBA nowadays, you've got to have offensive versatility. You've got to have the ability to be able to play multiple positions. And that's one thing that Moore can't offer. He has the ability to add wing depth, to be a true wing on the perimeter as a shooter, as a floor spacer, but he also can be a stretch four as well. So there's plenty of potential positives to really like about Moore. However, there are some concerns about his game, especially his defense, and, you know, how else will he be able to add abilities as a playmaker? We're going to do this. While narratives are great to show the positives in his game, I do think statistics can really validate some concerns that are in his game as well. Coming up, I'm going to take a look. Okay, there are plenty of statistics out there that support how good of a shooter he is and how rare of a combination of a shooter and rebounder he potentially could be in the NBA, but also going to point out some concerns that really could limit his upside with whatever team drafts him in the NBA. It can be awkward or embarrassing to talk about erectile dysfunction. Usually we brush it off or blame ourselves. But Roman is here to get you the advice you want and help your need with no shame. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship you real medicine with 2 free-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOn and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to talk about, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with the doctor and take care of it. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOn to get up to $50 off your first full month of ED treatment, a free online visit, and free two-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOn for up to $50 off your first month of ED treatment. GetRoman.com/LockedOn. So if you've listened to the podcast for the past couple of months, by now you know that I do really like looking into stats for players to develop trends and get opinions and things such as that. When it comes to breaking them down, you know, what could they do for the Grizzlies if they're a current Grizzlies player? How could they improve? You know, so on and so forth. And while I don't typically like to throw that many numbers out because I certainly don't want to make this a math lesson or bore you to death, I do really think in the case of Jordan Nwora, there is a very interesting trend that comes from a couple of different statistics on his game. And what that is this, is that during the 2018-2019 season, Nwora won the ACC Most Improved Player of the Year. During that season, he averaged 17 points a game. He averaged 7.6 rebounds, 1.3 assists, 0.9 steals, 0.4 blocks, and also shot 44% from the field, including 37% from three. That led to him being, you know, voted as the most improved player in the ACC, as well as being the preseason ACC Player of the Year in the ACC. But the thing about it is this, is that typically in college, what you want to see is you want to continue to see players improve as they get further, you know, along. There should be, you know, not necessarily significant, but at least noticeable improvement in a player's game as they proceed from season to season in college. Well, with Jordan Nwora, a potential red flag is that you did not really see that. Yes, he still averaged nearly 14, or he increased his shots per game up to 14. He did increase his points per game up to 18. He still averaged 18 points and 7.7 rebounds a game, which is significant. But there wasn't really a marked improvement from his second year at Louisville. One thing that does, in my opinion, throw out a little bit of significance is that there was an improvement in Nwora's overall three-point shooting percentage. He averaged 6.1 three-point field goal attempts his sophomore year, and then his second year at Louisville. He averaged 6.1 shots per game in his third year in Louisville as well. But his percentages went up from 37% to 40%, which is a good sign. However, his two-point field goal percentage went from 50% his second year at Louisville down to 47%. So that tells me that what that meant was is that after these defenses, after these coaches had a year of tape and really realized that for Louisville, Nwora was a featured, part of the offense, they were able to scheme a bit better, and they were able to limit him due to his lack of athleticism. He still was able to shoot the three from distance. He was able to shoot the three over the defenses and actually improved in that capacity, but his ability to find shots at the rim and close to the basket were a bit tougher, and he didn't have the athleticism to overcome that. If you look at the scouting tapes, Nwora, that, you know, stands out as well. A lot of the dunks and a lot of the close to the basket attempts that Nwora has with him running the baseline, being on the run, you know, being able to get open past his defender and there for the pass at the rim. He does have a few occasions in which he's able to drive past his defender, but it's not consistent. There's not really a consistency in his dribble drive game to the rim. The thing that stood out most about his highlights that really, you know, shows again the strength of his game was his ability to create his shot in small spaces while outside on the perimeter, shooting from distance, using his dribble game to be able to create the space needed instead of his athleticism, and also the ability to shoot with confidence with someone in his face. The rebound certainly remained elite as well, but overall, the reason why I mentioned while he certainly remained productive, the fact that there was that basically his third year at Louisville was an exact carbon copy of what his second year at Louisville was, there is a bit of a concern there. He was still productive, but there was not a lot of improvement, and also there were a few statistical indications that once teams had tape of him, he became less effective. The other big thing about there not being improvement is outside of scoring and rebounding, there's just not a lot to offer there. During his college career, Nwora averaged one assist per game, but also averaged 1.8 turnovers per game. So for every every one assist he get, he created two turnovers. That's not so encouraging as well. Defensively, he didn't offer a lot of playmaking ability. He averaged 0.8 steals per game, as well as 0.2 blocks per game. So he's not going to be someone on, besides his defensive rebounding ability, which we'll get to in a minute, there's not going to be a lot of playmaking ability from, you know, nor on the defensive end. So really what, you know, what stands out about these statistics is this, is that he is a shooter. He is a confident shooter, and he will get his shots. And you probably want to trust him with those shots. Warren is someone, especially in a second unit in the NBA, that you're okay with taking the shots that he finds. However, a couple of red flags that could come from that are this. Does he get into that Dylan Brooks mode in which he feels the only way, if he's not hitting his shots, he feels the only way to be able to do that is to take more shots? I think that's a concern with Moore. You want for him to be able to develop the, you know, mindset. I think he does have good basketball IQ, but you want for his decision making to get to the point to where it's okay sometimes to where if your shot's not there, to trust the scheme that you're running on offense and make that extra pass to get it taken care of. I also think that in terms of offense at the NBA level, you may be a bit limited in what type of offense you can use Moore in. Now, when it comes to the Grizzlies, something that we've been accustomed to seeing from the San Antonio Spurs as Greg Popovich is that quick passing around the perimeter ability, that the ability to rotate the ball on the outside that the Spurs and other teams have really started to do well in the NBA. I think in that type of offense, Jordan Wara is an asset. However, if it's in a second unit where there's a lot of movement to be involved and off the ball screens and all this different stuff, I don't necessarily know if Wara is someone that you could trust. He'd be able to set those screens and then pop out for a three-point shot. But the more that Moore has to rely on his athleticism and speed and quickness to get open, I think that's a detriment. He just does not offer a lot of it. And that's why I think he could be limited to a reserve role in specific schemes, though he is a significantly talented shooter and he can get his own shot and he has layers to his shot. I think that his overall lack of athleticism limits his ceiling to be in a reserve more than it is to be in a, you know, satisfactory starter long term. Of course, we talked about offense. What about defense? You know, that's the other thing about it that we've talked about a bit about with these prospects is that we don't want for their defense to really negate what they add on offense. Well, more the worry is there. For the same reason that, you know, relying on his athleticism, relying on his speed on offense to try to get open for shots, the more he does that, it may be less advantageous than you think it would be. On defense, it's the same thing. He is someone you want him to have limited space to have to cover. If he has that, he can cover it because he knows how to use his body. He also has the IQ of knowing how to stay in space, how to not get out of position. He will be in the right spot. But when he's in the right spot, what can he do? Well, against quicker guards who can drive, he's not going to have much of a chance. You want for him to use his mind to be able to position his body to where he may be able to distract those quicker guards to where he can get help, or on the outside, perhaps use his body to make it hard for them to get the position that they want for the shot they want to take. The other thing, though, is that he adds on defense is good outside rebounding ability. On long rebounds, he's clearly an asset. In a league that's starting to take threes more, War's ability on defense to get defensive rebounds, especially long rebounds, is certainly advantageous. He also has the capability of being able to come in and get the rebounds on the defensive end for close shots, as I mentioned in the first segment. So the added value for him on defense is being an extra layer of rebounding that can prevent offensive rebounds, can prevent long rebounds from getting extra possessions, so on and so forth. So when it comes to Wara, basically from his second to third year at Louisville, the fact that there wasn't a lot of improvement kind of, you know, points out to the fact that he may be close to a finished product based off his limited athleticism and speed and quickness, but he still has significant ability due to his shooting. So I did a bit of a statistical query. I looked at, over the past, basically 11 years, since the 2009-2010 season, in the NCAA, for players who had played more than 2,000 minutes in college, had made 175 or more threes, and had a defensive rebounding position of 20%, meaning when they were on the court, they got one out of every five defensive rebounds. When I pulled it up, there were 14 players in the NCAA since that season that had done that, basically over the past 10 years. Several of these names were guys who just never made it past college ball to become prolific pros. But a few names that stood out, I think, are a logical ceiling and floor comparison for Jordan Moore. Coming up, I'm going to discuss that ceiling and that floor. Where exactly could Moore fit in an NBA rotation? And for the Grizzlies, where could he make sense? Obviously, the shooting makes sense, but where could he make sense in terms of their rotation? And does his overall game still allow for him to be a clear value as a shooter? We all want to add healthy benefits to our day, but however, it's hard at times to really commit to making healthy behaviors part of our routine. The way to do it is to come up with easy solutions that add value to our day, and I think one of those options could be Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that legitimately tastes like a candy bar. A lot of times with these protein bars, to get the health that you need, you got to sacrifice taste. Or if it's too tasty, it's not necessarily healthy. But with Built Bar, you get both. And it's also versatile. No matter if you have it in the morning as breakfast, before or after a workout, or in the afternoon listening to your favorite Locked On Podcast Network show, it's a great addition to your day. If you go to BuiltBar.com right now, you'll also get a wide assortment of flavors. My favorite's personally the peanut butter, but you will find an assortment that likely will have something that fits your preference. Also, if you go to BuiltBar.com right now, you can get $10 off your next order using the promo code Locked On while supplies last. That's $10 off using the promo code Locked On while supplies last. But I can tell you this with confidence. Once you add Built Bar to your daily routine, it's going to be there to stay. That's how good it is. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code Locked On to get $10 off your next order of Built Bar. So where does Wara, well, what's kind of his ceiling and his floor as far as an NBA player goes? Well, like I mentioned, when I did that statistical query in which I looked at in 2,000 minutes over the past 10 years in college basketball, what players have both grabbed one out of every five defensive rebounds when they were on the court and also made 175 or more threes? Two names that stood out were Doug McDermott when he played at Creighton and Robert Covington. Now, Robert Covington would be the ceiling in this situation. A 3-and-D type who has really made a career of himself through taking smart shots from beyond the arc and really improving his defensive game. I do not think that Nwora, not due to lack of effort, Nwora is a bigger player than Covington, in my opinion, so it's probably going to be harder for him to develop those skills that you can't teach, like quickness and speed and things like that, to become a plus defender. I do think that Doug McDermott is a good comparison for the type of career that Nwora will have. A back end of the rotation big wing who can shoot the ball but is more of a stationary type talent than a movement type talent, which has its limitations as well. Being more stationary with your ability to shoot instead of being able to move and find the ability to shoot, the latter is what you want to see in terms of looking at a guy who could project as a potential starter versus a guy who's going to be a reserve throughout his career. So I think Doug McDermott is not a bad comparison for how Nwora's career could go in the NBA. I think that Nwora could be a better athlete, could find ways to contribute, especially through rebounding. He could do that more than McDermott, though I think McDermott obviously had a better shooting profile coming out of college and probably is, well, over time, have proven to be the more accurate shooter. But in general, despite, you know, specific names, I think that that's kind of where Wara's career fits. As a back end of the rotation player who adds shooting ability, and shooting ability that is especially valued on the second units on NBA teams. And that's where he fits for the Memphis Grizzlies. When you look at the Grizzlies bench, you've obviously got Tyus Jones. You've got Grayson Allen. You hope the Anthony Melton stays around to be a part of it. And obviously, you've got Brandon Clark. But now, after that, you know, that's where it becomes questionable as to who else do you have. Well, you've got Gorgui Dieng, for instance, and last year you had players such as John Concher. John Concher also was on that list of the that I mentioned that McDermott and Covington were on. So the Grizzlies have shown the preference to draft players who have the type of skill set that Nwora showed in college. But getting back to the point, you have Tyus Jones, you have Brandon Clark, you have D'Anthony Melton, you have Grayson Allen, and you have John Concher potentially coming back. Well, especially if Melton leaves, you've got to add another talent that could fit right in with the trio of Allen, Jones, and Clark, which could be very intriguing going forward to make your bench an asset. But if you add Mora, there are a few things that he really does offer that. He offers rebounding ability, maybe the best rebounding ability even above Clark's rebounding ability to that group. He also has shooting. He likely is the most talented and trusted shooter out of that group immediately stepping in. And he does add a bit of versatility. He could play the wing in a pinch. He could play the stretch four. So in terms of where he would fit on the Grizzlies, I think Moore is a clear guy who you could see checking some boxes for the Grizzlies and really adding a needed shooting presence to the bench reserves. But like I stated a few minutes ago, the reason why you may not want to target him at number 40 unless a lot of your other choices are already off the board is because I don't think that Nora has as much of a likelihood to produce above his ceiling than others do due to his lack of athleticism, due to the type of game that he showed on tape in college, and also just due to how he'll age. I think he'll age fine. That's not a detriment, but I don't know if there's as much projectability in Moore's game as there with his age and with his body as there is with others that may potentially be there. And so while his shooting ability is certainly something that would attract the Grizzlies, I do also think at the end of the day, it makes a lot of sense to continue looking at those players who may have higher upsides, and while Noir does check some baskets as wing depth and potential front court depth as well, he can shoot, he can rebound. He seems to be a guy who more fits a present need for the Grizzlies than a guy who can continue to grow as a significant part of a Grizzlies core going forward. And right now, with Memphis in a rebuilding mode, I would look at a guy who could fit the latter category between those two options than a guy who you could see being a good fit for present needs without a lot of projectability, you know, right now. So at the end of the day, you know, I would think that of the players that I have mentioned, I would probably put Nora before Yurt 7. I certainly would love to get Bay, and then I think Pritchard probably has, the second most upside out of these prospects and probably the second most value due to the Grizzlies. But we'll talk about plenty of other wings as time as we see over time. But due to his defensive limitations, due to his lack of projectability, due to athleticism, and also the fact that he's 22 and you've started to see indications that he may be pretty much close to what he is right now instead of having significant ability to, you know, improve over time. I think while Noir could make some sense for the Grizzlies, he may not be that attractive of an opportunity for Memphis at 40. So like I told you, we had two specials for you on Saturday. We talked about Oregon guard, point guard Peyton Pritchard. We also talked about Louisville forward Jordan Noir. Both are older prospects that have been productive in college. They have shown that they can take on a big scoring load and be featured members of an offense. And while they do both have their limitations and concerns, there also is sense there to where they could be Grizzlies targets if the Grizzlies find something within their skill sets that is really attractive. We're going to continue this in next week. I'm going to keep it a surprise, but I will say we are going to start talking about a few more of the prolific names, a few more of the more common names that we have seen the Grizzlies, you know, that we have seen mocked to the Grizzlies in draft, but also names that start to have that upside that really make them attractive, that really could make them a steal if they are there at 40. We will talk about that next week. Until then, make sure you listen to all the great podcasts we put out. You can find me at StatsSAC on Twitter, the show at Locked On Grizzlies, the podcast. We're on your iPhone, on the podcast app, or wherever you choose to listen to them. I'll make sure we will get you the links as soon as possible. But until next time, thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, and hope you have a great weekend.